So in the last couple months, I don't know if you've realized, but we've been kind of having a progressive theme in our sermon series. And in November, you'll remember that we did the sermon was Testify. The series was Testify, and we had a bunch of people testify. And really the focus of that series was highlighting the goodness and the faithfulness of God in our past. And so, and then last month we did God is with us. And so what we were highlighting there is God's closeness and his presence in the present. And so now we're stepping into January, a new year, and we're going to be highlighting and focusing on God's power and his intentions for the future. His power and his intentions for the future. And I believe this morning that we're going to plant a seed in this church. A seed is going to be planted in this church this morning, and that we are diligently going to water the seed. We are going to diligently be attentive to the seed that we're planting this morning, and we're going to believe and trust God to bring forth the growth. Amen? Amen. And so this morning we're starting a new series called Onward, Contending for More. And that's essentially what has been sung. It's what has been brought forth in prophetic word. It's been brought forth with Jill, is we are here for more. It's going to be a year of more. And this is going to be our phrase throughout the year. Because how many of you know that God is about increase? God is about increase. God created you to increase. He created you to grow. He created you to expand. He is a God who is about multiplication. He's a God who is about the expansion of his kingdom. He takes joy and he delights in our desire to want more of him. And as we just sang, I've seen the goodness of the Lord and I want more. He takes joy and he delights in that. Because everything that God has touched, if you think about it, everything that God has established in this world, in the universe, grows. The universe is expanding, it's increasing, it's forever expanding and growing. Trees, they grow. Plants, they grow. Children, they grow. Everything that God breathes life in, everything he establishes, everything he touches is expected to grow and reproduce. Jesus said in John 15, he said that I've appointed you. And he says, I've ordained you to bring forth fruit. You know what that word ordained means? It actually means that God has, that word actually means that I've placed you and I've positioned you exactly where I want you to be to bear fruit. And that's what that prophetic word this morning was about. That God has positioned you, he has planted you, he has placed you exactly where you are in life so that you would bear fruit. He ordained it from the beginning of time. And we find ourselves in a day and age where it's time for us to rise up to that. And to allow us to, we're going to contend for more this year. This is going to be a year where we're going to contend for more, and we're going to explain what that looks like in the weeks to come. But the reason is that this year is going to be a year in which we contend for more, or struggle for more is what the word means. We're not going to duke it out, but there's a context to that word that means that. But we're going to struggle for more. Why? Because God is a God of more. God is a God of more. He is not the God of less. And so we're going to take that, and that's going to be our mantra this year. Contend for more. Don't settle for less. Contend for more. Don't settle for less. And as we look in this world we can all agree that more of God is needed, right? I mean, no one in this room could say that God is not needed or less of God is needed. All of us in this room are thinking, we have to know that if the answer to the problems in this world is what? More of God in this world. We need more of God. Every single one of us in this room is desperate for more of God. You may have been a believer for as long as the Minches have been believers. They would be the first to tell you that they are desperate for more of God in their lives. All of creation is desperate for more of God. Amen? If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Ephesians 3, that's where we're going to start. And we come across a passage of Scripture in Ephesians 3 that leaves us in awe and wonder of the power and the ability of God and his plans for the future. Ephesians is a letter written by Paul, and it's unlike most of his other letters. Paul, in a lot of his other letters, is dealing with situations in the church. He's dealing with doctrinal controversy. He's dealing with leadership issues. He's dealing with all kinds of things like that. But in Ephesians, it's a little bit different. And it's in Ephesians, it's more of a reflection on what's going on in Paul's prayer life. If you remember last week, Greg was preaching upon how important it is for us to be soaking in the presence of God and spending time with God. And Ephesians is a little bit of a letter like that, where you're seeing God reveal things to Paul, and it's out of his personal prayer life. And so this is a revelation, and Paul he's just compelled to share it with the church in Ephesus. And he's got a purpose for this letter, and he even states early on in Ephesians, he says, my purpose for writing this, in Ephesians 1:15-19, is essentially this, is that as we as believers would grow, and that we would expand, and that we would reach for more in faith, love, and wisdom. And he prays that even you and I would receive revelation, so that you and I would be able to know God more fully. He prays that you and I would have a revelation. And this is what we're going to be praying for this year, that this church has a revelation so that we can grow in more of Him, so we would know more fully who He is, not only individually for our lives, and what His purposes are for our lives and for this church. And Paul makes it very clear that it's not just for the individual, but it is for the church as a whole. And His purpose is that we may better know God, so that we may better understand His purposes for our lives. And so Paul in Ephesians, he casts this complete picture of God's eternal purposes of salvation, of restoration, and he's calling for a deeper faith. He's calling for a stretching, even like Jill was saying this morning. He's calling for a stretching, an expansion of our faith in God and what God has planned. Do you want to be stretched this year? You can all say that. You can all nod your heads at me because I'm looking at you, and that's okay. But I mean, if you really sit there and think about it, when you're saying, God, I want to be stretched, I want you to expand me, that is going to be extremely uncomfortable for all of us. And that's the gospel. Everything about the gospel is uncomfortable. But if you genuinely, truly want to be expanded in your faith and you want to be stretched by God this year, pray that to Him and say, God, here is all me. Stretch me, and He will stretch you. He will stretch you. And so in Ephesians, at the end of Ephesians chapter 3, Paul offers this prayer of praise to God, often called a doxology. And so here it is in Ephesians 3:20-21. It says this, now to Him, speaking of God, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than you could ever ask, think, or imagine, according to the power, His power at work in us. What stands out immediately when you read the scripture? For me, the first thing that pops out is God's ability. It's like, wow, I'm in awe and I'm struck by God's ability to do more than I could even conjure up in my mind, that my mind could even wrap my head around. God is able to do more than that. His ability exceeds my own imagination. And our imaginations can go so far. Ask any artist, right? Your imagination has the ability to go into places that you just don't even, it's like, wow, this is not from me. This is supernatural stuff. And God has the ability to exceed that our minds can't even muster it up. More than we can even ask with our own mouth. Far more abundantly. Other translations say exceedingly and abundantly more. Another translation says immeasurably more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. And all of those words, all of those translations are referring to the God's ability to go beyond what you could possibly measure. To go beyond what you can measure. God is able to do more. Go beyond whatever you and I could measure up. And not just do that, but to do it more in both quality and quantity. That's what that word means there. He does it more in quality and in quantity. And this is the God who we worship. And so I ask you this morning, do you really believe God is as powerful as Ephesians 3:20 says He is? And if you do, are you willing to let your life reflect it? If you believe that God is as powerful as Ephesians 3:20 says He is, are you willing to allow your life to reflect it? For example, if I told you, or I asked you, do you think that God is able to bring revival here in Delaware County? And where five of your unbelieving coworkers or friends this year would come to know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. Would you think that God is able to do that? Okay. Now, but when I say that, what if God wants to do that and through you, would you have a little bit less faith in His ability to do that? It's like, God, I don't have what it takes to reach my friends, or I don't have what it takes to do this. I don't have what it takes to do that. There's something that sometimes, that if we're honest with ourselves, there's a limitation that we put on ourselves. We believe that God is able to do this, that He is the God who's able to do far more abundantly than we can ask, think, or imagine. But we sometimes, when it comes to Him doing it through us, there's a little bit of hesitancy. And I'm one and the same. I'm one and the same. And so what I am praying this year for all of us, and what this year is going to be about contending for more, is that God would expand our faith, that He would increase and stretch and just open up our capacity for faith in Him, to ask boldacious prayers and to ask audacious prayers. Yes, that's the bodacious is a good word too. Bodacious prayers. No, and audacious prayers, right? To be to be big in our prayers. Not to be limited by what our minds and I can think, but say, God, stretch me to even pray beyond what I can even pray today. I pray that by the end of this year, God, I'm praying prayers that are so much bigger than I ever prayed in before in my life. That I would go beyond what my own, but what I think can happen. And I will apply Ephesians 3:20 to my life. I would apply it to my prayer life, that You are able to do exceedingly, immeasurably, far more abundantly, more than I could ever ask or imagine. And I will pray to You in that regard. Expand my faith. Help my unbelief. And you know, I noticed something in this passage that I never noticed before when I was reading it this time through, and as the Lord put it on my heart, I've noticed that God wants to do this. His ability is there, right? But I find that there's a condition to His ability. It's according to something. It's according to His power that's at work within you and I. It's according to His power. It depends on the degree to which His presence, His purpose, and His power is operating in our lives. The word there, power, is a word in the Greek. It's God's power. And the very tense of that word, power, means that it's a power that must be demonstrated. It's a power that must be manifested. It's a power that must be visible. It must be seen. It must come down from heaven and be planted on earth. It must be something that is real and reality and tangible. And He says there, it's according to the power of God, the manifestation of God's power that is at work, what? In us. In us. It does not say, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think according to His power within us. It says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we could all ask or think or imagine according to His power at work in us. At work in us. It's not according to the power of God in you. It's according to the power of God that's working in you. And this is why I love Scripture and why it challenges me. I love, every time we open it up, it challenges you once again. It's talking about the power of God being activated in my life, operated in my life. That's what that word work means, to operate, to activate, to produce an effect. The power of God producing an effect within you. The power of God producing an effect in you, and through you. Is the power of God operational and active in your life? Is the power of God producing change in your life? In 1 Corinthians 1:18, I believe we have it up above as well. It says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. And so I ask you this morning, is the power of the cross active and operational in your life? And what I mean by that is that on the cross, Jesus, His power conquered sin and death. He had victory over sin and death. Does your life demonstrate victory over sin and the ensnares of death? Does your life demonstrate the power of God, the power of the cross? Is it active in your life where you are victorious over sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ? The power of His blood that was shed for you, a blood that flows with forgiveness and mercy and grace. Is that power operational in your life? Are you extending forgiveness? Are you extending grace? Are you extending mercy in your home, in your workplace, and in your neighbors? Is the power of the cross active and operational? Is it continuously operating in your life? Is the power of the resurrection active and operating in your life? Is the power of God's righteousness in which He has breathed new life into you, and the righteousness of God has now been credited to your account? Does your life demonstrate that? Does the power of what that looks like, is it operational in your life? Is it active in your life? Are you evidencing that God has given you new life and that you are now free to live righteously? Are you evidencing that you are now free to move forward, to look forward with hope and an expectation of the future, and to leave the past behind you? That's what the resurrection is all about. Move forward, my son. Move forward, my daughter, into the promises that I have for you. The cross and the resurrection changes everything. It changes the trajectory of your life. Is the power of the resurrection at work in your life? And is the power of the Holy Spirit evidence in your life? Because the cross and the resurrection, the message of the cross and the message of the resurrection brought forth this amazing gift from God, and it's His Holy Spirit in your life. Is the power of the Holy Spirit evident in your life? Are you listening? Are you obeying Him when He gently convicts you? Are you listening to His correction? Are you listening to Him when He says, no, I don't want you to do this. I'm reminding you of what Jesus would do. Are you listening? Are you obeying in that moment? Or are you simply ignoring Him and saying, no, I'm just going to do what I want to do because I feel better doing it my way. And I'd rather not be uncomfortable right now. Is the power of the good news, the gospel, the power of God seen in death and the resurrection of Jesus evident in your life? Is the life-changing power of God operating in and through you? That's the question I want you to take away with you today. Is the life-changing power of God operating in and through you? Because let me tell you, God wants to fulfill this truth of Him doing far more abundantly, immeasurably more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. He wants to fulfill that truth in your life. And He wants to fulfill that truth in this church. And that's what Paul is getting at. He's not saying that this is just for the individual. He makes it very clear that he's writing to the church as a whole as well. And that not only is this a God of the personal, it's not only God, a God of the individual, but God is a God of the community. God is a God of the church, because what He did is He brought the church together as one. And so this is not only for us as individuals, but this is for us as corporately, as a church, and how we're going to move forward this year as well. Because let me tell you, guys, there's no time for dormant faith. We do not have time for dormant faith. This is not a time for our faith to fall asleep. This is a time and period in time in which the opposite is needed. The opposite is absolutely essential. Faith on the rise. Faith expanded within us. Faith active and vibrant and operational. The power of God operating in and through us. Our time to experience what God can do far more abundantly than we could ever ask, think, or imagine is very limited. Our time on this earth to call upon a God who is this God and say, God, I want to see that more. I've seen your goodness with my own eyes, and I want more, God. I want more. Our time is limited. Our time is limited. And so this is a year going to be a year in which we're going to contend for more. We're going to contend for it. We're not going to settle for less. We're going to struggle for it. That's what the word contend means. To struggle for it, and we're going to strive together. We're going to work for more. And it's going to be an uncomfortable year. Amen. Amen. Because we're praying for it. Because we love you guys and we want you to expand your faith. I'm praying that every single one of you stretch beyond your wildest dreams and that you're made so uncomfortable this year. Amen? Like everybody's like, nah, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. But that's when we're going to contend for more as a church. We're not going to settle for less. This is going to be a season in which the power of God is active and operational, not only in your individual life, but in the life of this church, so that together, both individually and corporately, we can partake and be a part of this more from God that we cannot even begin to imagine or wrap our heads around, so that we together can partake in it and rejoice and be joyful in it together. This more that we don't even know what it looks like. What does more look like this year for Cornerstone? What does more look like in your marriage? What does more look like in your personal devotion with the Lord? What does more look like in your workplace? What does more look like in your relationship with your neighbors and your other family members? What does more look like? I don't know. I can't even wrap my head around it. But I'm praying to God that there's more. I want him to do far abundantly more than I could ever ask, think, or imagine, because I know that's who he is. Am I willing to allow my life to reflect it? Am I willing to align my life up with his power so that it's at work within me so that I can see that more? Am I willing to say, God, every day, work your power in and through me. Let it be operating and active through me today so that I can experience that more that you want to give. A greater understanding for this year of his purposes for us, individually and corporately. That's what the more is of this year. So what does that look like individually? It looks like, God, in what areas of my life do you want to see an increase of you? In what areas of my life do you want to see an increase of you? What areas of my life, Lord, are you needing me to surrender to you in order to see the more that you have in store? That's individually. Corporately, it looks a little bit like this. God, what do you want us to do as the body of Christ? What do you want us to focus on as a church that will activate the more that you desire to do? How can we, Lord God, as your body, better align ourselves with your purposes so that we can experience far more abundantly than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. Anthony, could I invite you please on up? And the worship team too. Guys, come on up. We're going to close this service. And just, yes, you're right. Not, yes, we're going to finish. We're going to, yes, yes, thank you. God is able to do more than I could ever perceive in your own mind, according to his power that is at work within us. God is able to do more, let us sink in, than you and I could ever perceive in our mind, according to his power that is at work and operating in our lives. What if this year, the awe and the wonder of this passage became a reality in your life and in this church? What would that look like? I started off by asking you a question. Do you believe God is as powerful as Ephesians 3:20 says He is? And you all nodded your head. Are you willing to make a commitment this very day and say, God, I'm willing to let my life reflect that? And in order for our lives to reflect that, His power must be operational in our lives. It must be active in our lives. It must be at work in our lives. And if you are willing to let your life reflect that, would you please just stand with me right now? And we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, You have revealed Your greatness to us. Lord, we have experienced Your power in our lives through salvation, restoration, and redemption, and justification, and sanctification. God, we recognize Your power in us. And Lord God, we want to see Your power flow from out of us. Because Lord, we are a people who are standing before You, making a commitment that we want to contend for the more that You have in store. We want to be a people in Delaware County, the church that sees that You're able to do the far more abundantly than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And so God, we ask You right now to expand our faith to believe this. And not only just to believe it more, Lord God, but to believe that You can do this through us as individuals. That this far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think or imagine is done through us as Your power is at work in us, God. I ask You to help our unbelief in this moment. I pray, Lord God, that each and every one of us by the end of this year would say, man, my faith was stretched. My faith was expanded and the power of God within me grew and was operating within me. Help us believe that You can and want to do this through us, Lord God. And so, Lord, this morning we take You at Your word and we say You are the one who is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And we want our lives to reflect it in every way. We want this church to reflect it in every way. And Lord, we stand together in agreement. We stand together in commitment. Lord God, each and every one of us, we stand together and do our part and to take our responsibility for this and not to expect the guy next to us or the person in front of us or the person behind us to take up the work. But Lord, that we would stand and take responsibility for ourselves this year. That we would take responsibility for Your power being operating in and through us. That we would spend time in Your presence and growing in Your purposes for our lives. And demonstrating that in this church. I thank You, Lord, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart has even imagined what You have prepared for those who love You. But Lord, we take You at Your word today. And we all in agreement, we say, Lord God, we want more of You. We want more of You. And we are going to contend for more this year. In Jesus' name, let it be. Amen.